Derek Warren here with Effingham County Museum's Delane Donaldson. Thanks for joining me today.
It is always my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I've already posted the story about it on our website, but we're going to get some more details on it here. The statue that was rededicated on Monday to Lawrence Durrie, that was such a great ceremony out there and gathered a lot of people, but it just showed everything that the community did came together in that one statue.
Exactly. It is a part of the area history that's one of those parts that had been kind of hidden for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it just is all developed, and there are so many things that came together. It just makes me spin around sometimes to think about it.
Yeah, there were so many moving parts, everybody working together like that, and then it came out so well, too. It looks great.
Oh, it does. You know, incredible job by Charlie Huber, who was the restorationist there working together. But I think probably what Charlie would say is, well, there were all these other people who were, you know, contributing this and this and this and this and this.
He said he couldn't have done it without all of his people helping him.
Exactly.
Especially a couple of the people that moved the pieces by themselves, you know, the heavy lifting.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that I kind of thought of on, been reflecting on since that time of the ceremony, is this. The major emphasis there, of course, is the history. Okay, so you have, there are two people who are historic figures in this area then, you know, that should be lifted up. Lawrence Durrie, a soldier whose life was brought to an end in 1919 because of the fact that he was participating in a very deadly war. And so to remember him is to also honor all veterans because he becomes symbolic of what the cost of defending freedom is.
Yeah, and all of it entails, and going overseas away from your family and everything.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of the story, the other human being, is the artist, Nellie Boyd, you know?
Yeah,
and a hidden gem here in this part of the state in terms of what she did so many years ago, and then she moved out and moved to Michigan, but that wonderful life that she had here in Effingham County, and then continued in the same vein when she moved into the Lansing, Michigan area. And she is just a wonderful, wonderful figure, showing something about the culture, I guess, rural America that people are not acquainted with. I was reading, and this might be very interesting to you, Derek. I was reading from a historian who wrote histories about Illinois counties, and this was back in the 1880s. And when he was reflecting on this part of the state, rural America, small counties here in this part of the state, and he said, essentially, this is not an exact quote, but paraphrasing him, essentially that the farm life kept people busy all day long. Farm people had jobs that they had to do, and then their day ended. And he said, and it doesn't allow too much for anything beyond just being focused upon completing the farm task. No high culture. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, when he was writing that, Nellie Boyd was 7 years old. And Nellie Boyd, by the time she was 7 years old, was an artist, just a natural-born talent, you know. And she continued that throughout the rest of her life, and she lived to be a very elderly woman. So that's a story all by itself, too, you know.
Yeah, you get in her backstory, and she wasn't the biggest woman either to build that statue that was bigger than she was. I mean, that's kind of incredible.
Yeah, that, you know, the amazing thing was that the picture that ran back in, I think it's 1961, through the Decatur Herald, it was where I'd found that picture, or Barb Boyd had made me aware of the picture, then I tracked it down and had sent me a copy of it, and then I had gotten on newspaper.com, and I went to just search for that and found it, and I think it was in the Decatur Herald that had run that story. Yeah, she's just this tiny little woman, and I thought, when I looked at her, I thought, well, this is Grandma Moses here, you know? and then what I found was that I did a lot of research on her and trying to figure out where else was she mentioned. Well, there were a lot of stories, and a lot of the times it was our Grandma Moses, you know, talking about, especially in the Michigan area when she was of advanced, really advanced age, that the people in that area would refer to her, well, our Grandma Moses did this, or Grandma Moses did this, and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, all these things were taking place. Just a fascinating story. And, yeah, that picture of her, and you know, when you look at it, you think, wow, that's a great big giant statue.
Yeah.
It is a tall statue, grant you that. You know, it's not as tall as I am, probably not as tall as you are. But, you know, but for when she stood next to it, it looked like a giant, you know.
Yeah, right, just
when she's there, you know.
She's not the biggest woman. So yeah,
exactly, yeah. Yeah, she's very, very fragile build, you know, and the like. But a lot of energy.
Yeah, and very good at sculpting statues like that, too. She did a very good job initially as well.
Yeah, which working with concrete, Charlie Huber told me, working with concrete is not an easy task to do. It is a special skill all by itself to mold it. Because, you see, in that statue of Lawrence Durrey, which incidentally, the statue, for the model that was there was Nellie Boyd's husband, because the family borrowed one of Lawrence's uniforms, and then he put it on, she could then look and see, you know, where the creases were, the folds in the clothing, you know, when a person's in a position like that. She also tried the uniform on, and she would stand before a mirror and with the uniform on, and she would get down on a knee like the statue is and say, oh, yeah, okay, when that happens, then, you know, the fold at the knee, you know, this is the clothing is this way and so on.
Very precise.
Oh, she was more precise than I think. One other artist I know who still lives there in Effingham, that she's that same kind of and I guess that has to be with the artist, you know. They have to have that precision.
Yeah.
Not a generality. It has to be very precise, yeah. But it just amazes me when I think about what she was able to do, and then the honor that she showed to Lawrence Durrey. Now, it's interesting to me. I taught sociology, and so this is a sociology lesson as well as a history lesson type thing, you know. And the interaction that took place between neighbors in that era, and then when we come to this part of world history, our American history, and we look at relationships between neighbors who out in the country for Nellie Boyd, that the farms were right, not within shouting distance of each other.
Yeah, big farms.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was a distance that was there. And so when we look at the relationship that we have today, where we, in many instances, don't know the person who lives across the street from us, you know, or down the street a block or so or whatever, these people had a unity that it was an incredible unity. And the thing that really I thought was fascinating when we were at the ceremony and we were looking at the people who were gathered there were relationships that were reestablished that had been lost through the years. The Boyd family knew the Durrey family. That's why Nellie Boyd felt compelled to do something for the grieving neighbors here and to honor their son who had died as a result of a poison gas attack. And then those two families went in different directions. So Nellie Boyd eventually went to Lansing, Michigan. And the Durrey family, we have a lot of Durrey family here. But the Durreys also established patterns where they were moving, you know, and sometimes remaining in this area and so on. But there was also a Durrey family that prior to Lawrence's going into the service, that Durrey family, family then went up to Lansing, Michigan area also.
Okay.
And so you have a couple of neighboring families who had a presence in the same city in Michigan.
Yeah.
So the Durreys and the Boyds had relatives. And so what happened out here on the VFW grounds last Monday was the fact that these families came back together again, and it was kind of interesting to me to watch and see the conversations that took place. Barb Boyd just, you know, I think was just amazed by what she found here, you know, in terms of these relationships. But she was talking with one couple, and they mentioned her father's name, and she said, "How do you know my father?" You know. And all of a sudden, well, these are relatives that are over here, you know, and so, boom, there's a unity that is there. It is the best illustration that I can ever think of how close we are to other people inside our society.
Yeah.
You know, the old idea of it's a small world. Now, I know that many times in traveling that I have gone to other areas. Okay, family and I were out in Manassas, Virginia. We wanted to visit Washington, D.C., and so we stayed in Manassas to find a lower-cost hotel that was there.
Right, yeah.
And anyhow, we went to church there. And when we went to the church there, people came over and said, well, you know, how are you, and da-da-da-da, things you do in a small church. And so they came over, and they greeted us. And I said, well, we're from Illinois. What part of Illinois? And southern Illinois, just a little town, southern Illinois. You probably never heard of it. And the guy said, well, what's the name of your town? I said, Effingham. And he said, I know Effingham well. I've been there. He said, well, I grew up in Bible Grove.
Oh, wow.
All right, now. I found the same thing on the Natchez Trace, bumping into a person in a visitor center, and they said, Effingham, Illinois, do you know so-and-so? Jay Walker was the guy's name that they mentioned. And I said, well, I absolutely do. Well, listen, he used to come to our house for supper down here in Mississippi because he was on the pipeline.
Okay.
And right. I've had that happen so many times. Now, what I used to teach in sociology is that in America, every person is about 4 acquaintanceships or 5 acquaintanceships away from anybody else. That is, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows, pick a name, and it's there.
Right.
Okay. That's the closeness that we have here within America, one person with another. And I saw that demonstrated so very well the other day, because all of a sudden, when Barb comes down from Lansing, Michigan, and she is here. Here are people who, and there are interaction patterns that all of a sudden, hey, I know somebody that you know, and da 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 da, and all of a sudden it's a relative, you know, boom,
right, and everybody's, you know, linked together through
that linkage. But anyhow, I just thought it was wonderful, because, you know, one of the things that I am reminded of again and again, this is the history teacher part of me, you know, that is still there, that through the years, without those people who are ordinary citizens out here going into the military, serving in the military, defending liberty, defending democracy, that those things that we take for granted would not have happened without them. And so what Lawrence Durie's statue does there on the VFW grounds, for me anyhow, is it is a reminder of him as a person, very fine person. He had a future ahead of him. Who knows where it would have gone? Very, very fine. Sterling character was the way the people talked about him. He was of sterling character, a noble figure. And we remember him because of that, and he was willing to go into battle, and he was willing to die because of his belief in defending American freedoms and freedom around the world. And so we remember him in that regard, but we also have that big picture then of all veterans, you know, in terms of the sacrifices that sometimes are required. And I think that that statue becomes a symbol of that. And so bringing those things together, the workers who came together, the local businesses who said, hey, what can we help you with? How can we help you in this fashion? We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. You know, all those kind of things that came together just are also a testimony to, I think, the kind of county that we live in. Mm-hmm. I think it is representative of what rural America has always been, but probably isn't as strong as it was in the past. But the core of our value base, I think, has remained the same.
Yeah, well, like you said, seeing all those people come together, businesses and individuals alike, mm-hmm. to help one common cause, to help this, and it all started with an email to you.
Yeah, precisely. Again, you know, that is the amazing thing. That's that one relationship with another relationship, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 it's all these other relationships that are out there. Yeah, I think it is an amazing story. I was looking this morning before coming in. I was looking on my computer at all of the emails that I had with Barb Boyd through the last 2 years. And it is it would make a book. I can, you know, the emails, the illustrations that we exchange back and forth with each other, newspaper clippings we exchange with each other, and all kinds of things like that. And then if I wrote a commentary in between the things, it would be a nice story to read, probably a longer story.
Is this gonna, one question before we end up here? Is this going to have its own little mini exhibit in the county museum?
Okay, I'm glad that you asked that, because Velma Dury, and dear lady that she is, I hope that you got to meet her and you saw her there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Velma, she's just an amazing person. And Velma brought me a whole lot of things that are part of the family history. The Red Cross letter, you know, that was sent. Now, these we do not, the museum does not have at the present. But she did have a full picture of Lawrence Dury in his military uniform. Is back in 1917 or 1918.
That's what that picture was. It was by the statue.
Precisely, okay. Precisely. And she then, remember the other day, she donated that to the museum. So okay. Now that picture will be up there. Now we will probably have other things that relate to the life of Lawrence Dury that are there, copies of documents that I now have that I had never ever seen before this past weekend, lots of things like that, that will make a really nice exhibit.
Definitely, and then you can direct them to the statue down at the VFW, too.
Precisely, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, yeah. So it is okay. You just leave the courthouse, and you go over to 4th Street, and you take 4th Street and make a curve, or make a turn on Blum Street, I guess it is now, and then to the VFW, and boom, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't even thought about directing that. Thank you for that, Derek.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, like we said, amazing to see the community come together for this, and it all culminated in that rededication. And a fabulous job they did with the statue, too.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah, Charlie Huber is proving himself to be a very fine artist and a fellow who learned a lot, I think, from this project, but who has talents that are incredible to me.
Yeah, he mentioned in his speech there that he gave that he had had to look for all kinds of different materials to make sure it all blended together well, and it seems like it did very well. The research paid off.
Right, exactly. Yes.
All right. Well, again, you can see it, the statue at the VFW up behind the mall there. I forget the exact address, but...
Yeah, it's a 2400 block.
2400, yeah. Mm. It's right there out front on the lawn, and it's very hard to miss because it looks so good, too. So thank you for everything that you did with that, and it looks great, and hopefully... we'll get to have another statue like this that we'll find sometime and do the same thing.
Absolutely. There is hidden history out there.
Always.